You're in the book of Hebrews, and our new series today, or this week, here's another one. I don't know how long it's going to go. My desire is to go to the end of the year, and believe it or not, we'll be there before you know it, right? About 15 or 16 weeks. I cut out the 2 weeks for Christmas and all that, and we'll be there. But we're going to look at a title of this series is called Stand Still and See. Now, let me tell you where this idea came from. We were at the Bill Rice Ranch several weeks ago, wasn't it? And there's a young lady there that had some paintings that she had done of biblical themes. And there's one of Abraham and the ram with Isaac, ram in the thicket. And there was Rahab and the scarlet cord coming out of her house there. And there was the woman that had the two mites. And it was a unique picture because it was like you were looking down from the basket that she was throwing the money into. And she had a smile on her face and you saw people in the background. And that was really neat. And then this one caught my attention, which the poster was supposed to be here, but it'll be here next week. And it is Stand Still and See. And what's her name? Brenda Godfrey, I think's her name. She took art at Pensacola. And she had the idea of, in the miracle of the Red Sea, she had Moses. Moses is really tiny, but the water coming up is pretty awesome. So I'd ask her if I could take a picture of that and use that in Sunday school. She graciously said, well, this is for ministry purposes. I couldn't believe it. Somebody said, for ministry purposes, you don't have to pay for it. And I said, if you'll let me do that, I'll give you credit and everything. And so she consented to do that. So I have a somewhat picture of that, and that'll be here next week, a 2x5. It'll cover that space up there. So that's next week. Stand still and see. And we're thinking about Moses, and I felt as if this is the direction the Lord would have us go. But you're there at Hebrews chapter number 11, and this is a introduction to this series. We've talked about faith, and that Hebrews is a definite book about faith, and it seems as if I can't get away from this, because we are living in these last days when there is so little faith. And four times right here at Hebrews, it begins in verse 23 by talking about his parents, but it says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to talk about Moses' parents. You know, there's a heritage that was passed down to Moses from his parents. He was just there 3 months. Well, she did wean him also, you know, and then he went to Pharaoh's house. We're looking at his parents, but it says, by faith Moses' parents, verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, that's what faith does, it endures, as seeing him who's invisible. That's the point of reference. It's Christ. It's God. And then verse 28 says, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. So we're going to look at Moses. Now, you know, when I think about Jewish history, and you are familiar with this at least somewhat, there's two people in Jewish history that stand out. The first one is Abraham. Abraham is called the father of the Jews, really. And he, by faith, forsook Ur of the Chaldees, and he went to the promised land that God had promised him. Of course, we know he had the promise, but he never inherited the whole land. It was given to his descendants. But he did get one promise, and that was what? His son. Yes, his son Isaac. Okay? And so we have Abraham, and then we have Moses. Moses is the great emancipator. Now, when you think of emancipation, you think of the Emancipation Proclamation by Abraham Lincoln. Right? And we're not talking about blacks now. We're talking about the Jews. God sent the children of Israel in there. They were there 430 years to the day. That's the way God works things out. When is Jesus coming back? To the day that God intends for him to. And it won't be any sooner, and it won't be any later. The Bible says, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. In the 70s, preachers used to say, if the Lord tarries, I don't hear that anymore. Because he's not tarrying. He'll be right on time. And when he splits the veil and comes through, I'm looking forward to that. I hope you are too. And so he's a great emancipator, and he's a great lawgiver of the Jews. You remember, as we looked at Hebrews, that was the figure that the Jews looked to, because he got it by the ministration of angels. Moses did. So the reason why, and by the way, Stand Still and See is a title that Brenda put on her painting, Stand Still and See. And the fact of the matter is, we're living in days in which we need to see God do something powerful and miraculous that cannot be explained only through faith, and God did it. I'll be honest with you, this morning I had a real struggle. I was really struggling with even teaching this morning. I was down. But you know what encouraged me? Your being here and your singing. You encourage, your music, your singing out encouraged me. All right? And so I said, Lord, I'm struggling with this thing about faith because I want to grow in my faith. I've been reading the book of Acts. I'm almost through it already this morning. I was in like chapter 21, I think. And I was impressed by two people in that book. One was Stephen. When the deacons were chosen, this is what was said about Stephen in chapter 6 and verse 5, I think it is. The Bible says he was a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. A man full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. And then it talks about Barnabas. In Barnabas, in chapter 11, verse 24, the Bible says he was full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. If there's two things that you and I need to lay hold of in our life, is he's not here. That's why our attendance is not done. Somebody take that from Brother Jack. Thank you. All right. If there's two things that we need to lay hold of in our Christian life, is that we need to be full of the Holy Ghost. I do and you do. It's not just for preachers. It's not just for deacons. It's for all the servants of God. And the second thing that we need to have a great wealth of is of faith. Now, we know how we get faith, right? It's by that book. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But can I say this? The hearing must also accompany doing. You know, we have to hear it, and then we say, have to say, and this is where the faith comes in. Well, I can do that. I can do that. And this is what we need in our in this day and time, because we're living in a day when there is so little faith and so little belief in that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works within us. And so we must trust God. And Moses is a great example of somebody that lived by faith. Now, the people in Hebrews chapter 11 were not extraordinary people. I think if we met up with some of the people in Hebrews chapter 11, we'd say, huh? What? You? They were just ordinary people. But the only thing that made them different and made them stand out is their faith. Their faith in a person, and that he is able to do anything. And they believed the promises of God. They had God's promise, and they said, this is what he said, and this is what it'll do. We'll work this. And that's what made them different. And so we might find it impossible to believe that God could use any of those people in Hebrews 11 if we saw them like today. Because their day was modern, like our day is modern. We'd say, what? But God did. And they had a marvelous capacity of faith in God. Four times right here about Moses. By faith, Moses. By faith, Moses. And that was the exciting thing. So the most important quality that God looks for and takes into consideration in yours and my life is my faith. My faith. You remember when Jesus talked to his disciples. How much faith did he say you had to have a tree removed and moved someplace else? How much faith? A mustard seed. You can say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and it'll happen, right? He said it doesn't take a lot of faith. As a matter of fact, I remember the disciples saying, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. I hope that in this series that you'll say that, Lord, I need greater faith. There's lots of things that bother us in life. I had one of those things last Saturday or Monday. It was bothering me. And it was a thing, it was a material thing, you know? And it was bothering me Brother Brown, when I was reading my Bible. I mean, it came to my mind, I said, wait a minute, this is not right. I couldn't focus on the scriptures. And I prayed, and I said, Holy Spirit, you know, I want to get this out of the way. And here's what he gave me. He said, godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. And it was a thing of this life that, you know, to any one of us in this room, we'd say, man, I want that. I'd like to have that. And it's like, oh, well, but godliness. So you know what I prayed, Ms. Watson? I said, Lord, help me be more godly. I want to be more godly. Because that's what's great gain. With contentment. And I said, help me to be content. Because the fact of the matter is, we're probably not too content, are we? You know? So godliness with that contentment is great gain. Great gain here, and great gain later too. Jesus, when he came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, remember, the rest of his disciples were all around this Father, and a boy was wallowing on the ground. He's filled with this spirit, and they're trying to cast it out, and it wouldn't come out. Remember? And Jesus, this is Mark chapter 9, and to the boy's father, Jesus said this. In verse 23, he said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. I said, Lord, I believe. I believe. And his word is the same to you and me this morning. There is no if in God's power. There's no if in his power because he's able. But it is in our faith. There's the if you have faith, if you have faith. So what is faith? What is faith? I mean, we have the definition here in Hebrews chapter 11, and it is a great definition. This is what God's given to us in verse number 1. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. To understand something about faith is to realize that it is not something, some inherent power by which some people are able to accomplish great things and others aren't. You have more faith, so you can do great things and I can't. No, we all have a measure of faith, the Bible says. We all do. But we want our faith strengthened and increased, and it's done so by the Word of God. There were three boys that gave their definition of what faith was in a Sunday school class. One boy said, faith is taking hold of God. Another boy said, faith is holding on to God. And the third one said, faith is not letting go. Well, they're all right. They're all right. That's what it is. But really, what is faith? I put this down. Frankly, I think it's putting aside myself so that God is able to work unhindered in my life. And he can use you and me to be a source of blessing to others. One of the prayers that I've been praying is, Lord, increase my coast. Expand my coast. I feel it's like it's too narrow. And you know what? I thought about this yesterday. Brother Matt called and said, would you come down here and do the music? Hey, my coast has been pushed out a little bit. And I'm thankful to him for that, right? And so faith is just surrendering. It's an attitude of our heart, having determined the will of God. When we know what the will of God is, then we're desirous of seeing it accomplished, seeing God do it, and say, Lord, if you want to use me, use me. I just want to be used. Now, sometimes when we think about that, we just think about teenagers. That's the only ones that God can use. But the fact of the matter is, he can use 54-year-old people. He can use 23-year-old people. He can use, I don't know what your age is, man, but he can use you. He can. He can, according to our faith. It's just a willingness, a surrender. Lord, I know what your will is, and if you want to use me to accomplish it, please do so. That's what faith is. It's desirous of, and we go to expect that God will work on our behalf. He will do it. Who was it? Vinny, you have to help me out here. The missionary said, attempt great things for God, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. I don't know which way it goes. Was it Carey? William Carey that said that? Or Judson? Some great missionary said that, right? Attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God, all right? Attempt them and then expect God to do something, you know? We think about George Mueller, you know, with the orphanages that he had. Nobody, we'd all say the guy's crazy. He is absolutely crazy. But you know, he's crazy about God. He just believed God would. He had a purpose to save the orphans and to see them taught the word of God. And he said, God, if you want to use me to do it, do so. And he believed God. Now, there were some outlandish things like a milk cart breaking down. You got milk for breakfast, you know. But at least they were thankful for milk. You know, God was able to do so. So this is important. Now, what are the qualities of faith then? I've written down some. We're going to take Moses and do a brief run through and see these in his life. The first quality of faith was is a sense of helplessness and nothingness. I can't, but you can. I shared with the people yesterday, the Bible says, the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Do you realize the Lord is your strength? He doesn't give it. He is it. He is my strength, and he is my salvation, and he is my music. Literally, my song. He's my music. And so when we talk about faith, it is this utter helplessness and nothingness. But at the same time, it's also, it's like, it's not a, I can't do it, but it is this idea of an absolute assurance of God's will. I know what God's will is, and he's going to have to use me. I'm going to just give myself to him and allow him to work in my life. It is an entire consecration that God's will may be worked out. His will may be worked out through my heart and my life. It is also an assurance of the promises of God as my daily food. I have the promises of God. It's my daily food, and that's what propels me and keeps me going. It's like Abraham having the promises of God. The Bible says after he patiently endured, he what? He obtained, didn't he? He obtained the promise. So the promises of God keeps me steadfast, keeps me going. And the Bible says that we have been given exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you've escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I've escaped that because I have his promises and I'm in Christ Jesus. And then the last point of faith, quality of faith, is that it's daring to act without regard to feeling. And sometimes our feelings come in, well, don't know if I should do this or not, or we look at the circumstances, I'm not sure. No, you don't look at the circumstances, you don't go to your feelings. Well, I don't feel. No, it's not about feelings. This is what God wants me to do. I know that in my heart, regardless of feelings, by faith, that trust absolutely in the faithfulness of God. I mean, think about Moses for just a minute. He could have had feelings like rain. What are you talking about? I'm not sure if I should build this ark or not. I don't know. I mean, he could have vacillated. What if God came to you and said, Jared, build an ark? I don't know if I should do this. What? You'd think, what? Are you sure? And you'd vacillate. I don't know. What will people think? Because this has never been done before. You know, I got these plans, but I don't know. But he did. He moved by faith. He was assured of the promise of God, and he did it by faith. And we're here today because he did so. Yeah, definitely. All right, the whole human race would have been wiped out, and God would have started with some others. I don't know, but, you know, it's by faith. So he was daring to act. So as we look at the study of Moses, I want us to see that, you know, Moses had some superior learning. The Bible says that his parents, when they looked at him, he was a goodly, he was a proper child. They said, something's different about this boy. They could see it. Have you ever found a teenager or a child and you just look at him and say, you just know, there's something unique about this child. There's something different. The hand of God is on this child. Has that happened to you? No. Not happened to anybody. Okay. All right. You know, when you're in tune with the Lord, sometimes you can say, there's something here. God wants to do something with this person. God has a purpose, and there's a purpose for all of us. We know that. But sometimes some are marked more than others are. And I think that's what it is. I mean, John the Baptist was marked from his mother's womb. He had a purpose. He was a unique child, and that's what they saw about Moses. But even though Moses had, he was educated, he was well-skilled in the higher learning in Egypt and all of that, we find the marvelous outcome of his life's work was due not to these superior qualities, but to his faith in God. His faith in God is what allowed him to do so. And I put this down here. Moses' faith managed to do what all his other qualities without faith would have failed to do. He could have never done them without faith. I mean, it's God's method in all the times that he works at it is to find somebody who just cooperate with him. And I think about that statement, Mark, where Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Faith. Now, we're all in this room saying, yeah, I got faith. And we all have a measure of faith. But how large is that faith? What's the capacity for it? It's as large as my capacity to know God and what he's able to do. In our day and time, we have a tendency, class, to look at all the negatives. You know what I mean? It is pretty, it's a pretty negative day. I mean, the sermon that I preached Wednesday night about Sodom and about Sodomites and all that was pretty negative. I'll admit that. But, God. It would be pretty bad, but God. And we have the vantage that some of those people didn't have. We have the complete canon of the Word of God. And can I remind you, we have the book of Revelation. And we know how it's going to turn out, don't we? And we know that by what? Faith in the promises of God that I am going to be with him someday forever. Now, they saw through a glass darkly like we do, but they saw that. Abraham saw it. And that's what propelled him. And all of God's people, that's what keeps them going, is a faith in the promises of God's word. And so this is what Moses had. You know, it is said that when he returned to his old country of Nazareth, this is in Matthew 13, in verse 58, it says, he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Yeah, their unbelief. And in a parallel passage, in another gospel in Mark, chapter 6, in verse 5 and 6, it states, and he could do there no mighty work save, except that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Do you realize the whole town could have gotten healed that day? But some of them didn't believe it. So just a few folks got healed, but he could have healed the whole town. He marveled because of their unbelief. So by faith, we need still today to stand still and believe that God is able to do the impossible. Now, I hasten to add to that one thing. We stand still, but the Bible tells us that we're supposed to also do something, right? We can have faith, but faith without, James says, works is what?
Dead.
Yeah. We can say, well, I believe God can do it. Yeah, I sure believe it. Well, then what are you going to do about it? Noah believed. And he went out and got some gopher wood and started to have sweat and work to get it done. The pitch, I'm sure he had pitch on his hands, that sticky stuff. It was all over him. But he worked. He believed and he worked. He did something. And James tells us that an old Scotsman operated a little rowboat transporting passengers from one side of the river to the other side. And he had two oars. And in one oar, he put faith. And then on the other oar, he carved works. And the passenger said, what are you doing? What does that mean? He said, well, watch this. He put works in. And he started rowing with works. And you know what happens if you're in a rowboat with just one oar. What did he do? He did circles. That's all he did. And then he put work in. And he took up faith. And he started rowing with faith. And you know what he did? He went in circles. And then he took both oars, and he put faith and works in, and he glided, you know, quickly through the water. And he explained this to his passengers. He said, you see, that's the way it is in the Christian life. Dead works without faith are useless. And then he said, but faith with works is dead. Faith without works is dead. But he said, but faith and works pulling together makes for safety, makes for progress, and makes for blessing. So Let's go back in the time we have remaining today and look at Moses with these things about faith. First thing I want you to see about Moses is his helplessness. Now, if you've been in Sunday school at all, I don't have to go through all this, and we're going to look in more detail anyway. But you remember that Moses, in his first efforts to try to rescue the children of Israel from the promised land, and I think if we read between the lines, God had already put that in his heart. He already knew what he was supposed to do. He knew the will of God for his life. But we know he tried to do it without faith, right? He tried to do it in his own hands. Take it in his own hands, and you know what he did, right? He killed a man. And then the next day he said, you're going to kill me like you killed that Egyptian the other day? Oh, and then he feared. You see, when we step out of the bounds of what God wants us to do, out of his timing, and we try to do it ourselves, we mess up every time. And so there's fear. There's not strength. There's not confidence. There's fear. And he ran, and he went to the backside of the desert. You remember? Midian. I think that's where he went, to Midian. And what do you find there? Solitude, peace. Nobody knew him. And, he had a great time on the backside of the desert. He was 40 when he went, and how old was he when God met him again? 80. As old as our pastor. No, Brother Parker's a good illustration of that. Our 80-year-old's real quick and peppy. Yeah, he's Brother Parker strives to do that, doesn't he? He doesn't tell you too much about his aches and pains. He tries to cover that. And but 80 years old, and God comes to him and says, I want you to take my children of Israel out of Egypt. And what does he say? I can't. He doesn't say I'm too old, but he says, I can't talk plainly. I've never talked to a large group of people before. I get nervous. God says, who made man's mouth? The seeing, the blind. Who does it? I do. And I'm asking you to do something for me. I will enable you. Remember? So we see his helplessness. I can't. I need help. And sadly, he says, can I take my brother? And my older brother. we've worked together, you know? And God says, okay, but if you'll notice in his life, Aaron kind of fades out and Moses does become a leader in Egypt. Even the servants look to Moses more than Pharaoh. God did a work in his life, but he had to be humble. He had to have this helplessness. And when you and I come to this place of helplessness, we find that God is a great help. He is a present help in time of need. And do we need him? Sure we do. My, there are so many issues facing us today, folks, and it doesn't get better. I hate to discourage you, but it doesn't get easier. It gets harder the older you get. Somebody that's older, say amen right there. Amen. It does. I mean, you think, once we get these kids raised, it's over. It's good. It doesn't stop. No. You still need God when you're a grandparent. You do. You need the Lord. And Moses at 80 needed the Lord, and then 40 more years through the complaining and griping in the wilderness, he needed the Lord, didn't he? So this helplessness. But also, Moses, though, was assured, he had the assurance of God's plan. Moses knew surely God's plan was given to somebody great 430 years earlier. It was to Abraham. And he knew what God had said. They'll be there, and then they're going to be emancipated. And the fact of the matter, do you think that scared Moses for just a little bit? Me? I'm going to be the one? God, you chose me? Wow. He was assured of the plan of God. He knew the will of God and said, okay, this is the will of God. This is his promise. So I have the assurance of that. In addition, at the burning bush, God distinctly told him that he would use Moses and be with Moses to help him. You know what? The Lord's promised you, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, hey, this comes from the book of Hebrews, doesn't it? We may boldly say what, class? The Lord is my helper. Yeah, he's my helper. He's my helper. Yeah. So Paul Martino, when you're assured of the will of God, you're in his plan, and you know the will of God, you say, he's with me. And you just believe that. You just go on that promise. It's like we said earlier in this class. I'm already seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's not going to happen. Well, it will, but right now I am. He's in me. I'm in him. I'm already seated there. I'm his body. I'm there. I don't see that yet, but the fulfillment of that will come to pass. But I believe that now. I believe it. It's the one that I'm assured of his promises. I act. I do something. What did Moses have to do? He had to go back to Egypt. You know, he had to go. And then there's that entire consecration. Moses was yielded to God's will as much as that rod was yielded to the will of Moses that he had in his hand. And therefore, God called Moses the servant of the Lord. And then he went on to say, even this about Moses, this little phrase, in connection to God's will, as the Lord commanded Moses, so did he. Entire consecration. I'm just a servant. If this is what you want me to do, yes, sir, and you command me to do it, I'll do it. I'll do it. Don't we, those of us who are parents, don't we dislike it when our children don't do as we command? The Bible talks about the law of your father. Help me out here. The law of thy mother it's something about your father. What is it about your, huh? Forsake not the law of thy mother. No, forsake not the law of thy father. Ooh, sorry, I got stuck there. But it has to do with the father. The father commands, the mother follows through on what the father's commanded the children to do. But don't you like it when your children follow through? You know, they follow through and they believe you. They believe, you know, that you want them to do that. So Moses, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3, was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony, a witness of those things which were to be spoken of after. Moses also was assured of the promises as his daily food, God's promises. Moses fed daily on the promises of God and pleaded them in prayer. Remember when God wanted to destroy the children of Israel because they made themselves naked and listened to Baal worship music, and that's what they had down there? It was a sound of war, remember? And Moses said, no, that's the sound of music. It was modern-day rock and roll music happening down there at that center where the calf was. You know, this is the Lord, but it had the wrong sound. And they were taking their clothes off. That sounds like a rock and roll concert to me, doesn't it to you? And is God like that? Do we worship him in a profane way? No. No. And then God said, I'm going to just get rid of them. And Moses had to intercede for them. And he said, if not, you know, blot my name out. And God said, I'll blot who I want to blot out. But he pleaded the promises of God. God, if you wipe them out, what will the Egyptians say? What will they do when they hear this, that you were able to take them out, but you weren't able to lead them in? He went back to the promises of God. That's what he did. And it was his daily bread. We fail in our Christian life because we don't know the promises of God. Our faith is so weak because we're not in there. I hope everybody in this class will be a student of the book, a student. When do you stop learning? Never. Until you get to glory. Be in the Word every day. So faith is what Moses made him all that he was. And so what's my goal? What is the goal of this study? The goal for you and for me especially, I'm saying for me as a teacher, I want my faith to be increased. I want greater faith. And I hope for you that you'll not be satisfied where you are in your Christian life, but you'll say, God, I want more faith. And I hope when Jesus comes, he won't say, is there faith in you? No, you got faith. You do have faith. You do believe that I'm able to do. I want that to be said of me. I hope that it will be said of you, because we're going to stand before him. And so surely there's no limit to the possibilities of what God is able to do in your life. And God can cause you to be a great source of blessing to others. Moses, was he a source of blessing to others? Oh, yeah. Abraham? Yep. Gideon? Sure. Then you go on and on. And it's modern times, but God's the same. He is the same. And there are some things that he wants to do. And definitely he's going to do some great things in these last times. So it is certain as this age draws to a close that God has great things on hand that are going to come to pass soon. And so therefore, according to his ways in the past, he will do them through people of faith. He'll do them through things, people that have faith in him. That's how he'll do things. So are we willing, I guess this morning the question is, are we willing to die to our own strength? So we can have, so we have his strength? He is our strength. We just got to believe it. I can't, but you can. Are we willing to forsake our own plans for his plans? Are we willing to seek out and do his will absolutely? I know that this is your will. And I'm not just talking in huge things. I'm talking about everyday things. This is your will. So we're just going to do this. Because I'm assured it is. Are we willing to take up the absolute attitude of absolute surrender to his purposes? Are we willing to feed daily on his word? Every day, be in the book, the promises. And if so be, to step out by faith, barring any emotions, on the faithfulness of God, persuaded that he is able to do what he asks you to do, then he will surely work in your behalf. He will do. And you'll say, stand still and see, wow, look what God's done. Look what he's able to do. If God can use, it wasn't the stick. That was what God just told him to do, hold it out. But God did something. He blew with the wind, didn't he? And he dried it up. He dried the creek bed up. And it was like jelly on both sides. And he was able to stop it up and it heaped up. That, people would say, wow, can you imagine the kids? Wow. I don't know if some kid stuck his finger in it going through and it didn't leak. Wow. It's not other, kids have to feel and touch. You know that. Sometimes we think, no, they all passed through and the kids and the parents said, keep your hands by your sides. Don't touch the water. I don't know if some kid put his hand on it. I'll guarantee you. And it didn't leak. But it sure did when Pharaoh's army went through there, didn't it? And they washed up on the shore, their corpses did, dead. And then what did the folks do on the other side? They praised God. Miriam and the women praised God. Horse and rider, he's thrown in the sea. How did that happen? Because Moses believed God and did everything according to his word. And God did it. And God can do those things today. I'm not saying the water. But you know what? God has done something like that. Brother Tom Williams was here several years ago. And somebody told him, said, Brother Williams, you're the only person who'd ever believe this. There's a boy who had sheep. He was on one side of a creek. And the water, I forget if it was in Africa or someplace, the water was coming up and the boy and his sheep would have died. He said, only you will believe this. The boy took his coat off and he struck the water just like Elijah did and it parted and the boy and his sheep went to the other side. We say, what? In the 20th century? Yeah. I don't know how or I don't know why, but he believed God. You see, we get so smart and so grown up. Oh yeah, he can. Aren't we supposed to come like children? Yeah. Like children. So is there something impossible you say, this will never, I don't see how this is ever going to, wait a minute, according to your faith, be it unto you. May God help us to learn what he wants us to learn. And I hope this will be encouragement to your heart. Amen. Brother Paul closes in prayer. Good morning.